Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Joining us now on air is Dr. Daniel Israel with our daily COVID report. Dr. Israel, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chad.
Doctor, what's happening? Give us an update. Hopefully good news.
So the interesting news of the day and the unknown news that everybody's thinking about is that the president has called a special emergency meeting of the Command Council for COVID-19. We know that cabinet normally meets on a Wednesday and is not supposed to meet for another, till at least the second part of January. But we have seen a previous pattern and we saw this about 2 weeks ago, where a special meeting was called with a special command group, and then afterwards a cabinet meeting convened, and that put us in the restrictions where we have now. So there is certainly some suspicion that we will either be maybe entering a time where there will be further restrictions. And the reason for this, as you are aware, I'm sure, is that we have seen an escalation, unfortunately, in the deaths in the past 24 hours and certainly in the last few days. I must say, Chad, though, that these deaths, I mean, remember, there's a lag time on everything. So if people are out and about in Christmas, over Christmas time vastly, and there was a lot of socializing and not much social distancing, etc., one would see the infections coming through from that in over, say, New Year, the first couple of days in January. And certainly the people who complicated from that and the death rate would only be coming through now. So this isn't necessarily a sign that these new measures are not working.
And doctor, do we now see a change in attitude of South Africans and naysayers in general? Have they now got the message just how serious this virus is?
You know, I'm certainly seeing it on my side. I am seeing an improvement. I think that it's still not where it needs to be. I mean, the hardest thing about viruses is that you can't see them, and that thankfully in this case with the 3% mortality at the moment, 2 to 3%, you know, like most people have an attitude of, well, I'm sure I won't be in the 3%. But as I saw someone put so like aptly on social media, you know, if someone told you that I'm going to give you a box of 100 Smarties and 3 of them are lethal, just, you know, have a couple and see if you'll be all right. I don't think you'd touch it. So the point is that this is the driving point. You can't bank on the odds. And I think that message is getting through. Interestingly, I mean, if you look in the literature of previous pandemics, there's always in the first wave an overarching fear, because nobody knows how serious, how quick, you know, what will the consequences be. Once there's been already a wave and some recovery, then in the second wave, it's much harder to control people. So there has been a big struggle and continues to be, but certainly this wave seems much more serious than the first wave for South Africa.
Doctor, help us just to wrap our minds around the issue of children and the youth. In the initial stages, people said that the children weren't very vulnerable, schools seemed safe, etc. And now with this variant and the second wave, we've now seen children and the youth impacted by this. Do you just want to explain where this misunderstanding came from and what the reality is?
So there's a difference between young people and children. We've always known that young adults and, you know, even maybe older teenagers can carry and transmit coronavirus. There was a time where a study was shown that people only over the age of 19 were big vectors. And then another study came out from somewhere, and I can't remember where it was, but it was, I had read that study, and that it was actually even only younger children who didn't transmit the virus, and that was based on height, because higher people speak closer to each other and younger people play further away, or so, a very strange theory like that. But the point is that we've always known that young adults can transmit this. This new variant has brought into question that younger people can become ill from this. And there certainly is some evidence that there may be a phenotypic, as we call it, so an expression in an actual disease of more harshness in younger people than we thought in the first wave. In terms of children, there still isn't any major evidence that children are super spreaders of this. Now, we know with influenza that children are super spreaders, which is why in the influenza season, when there's a big outbreak, schools are the major place where influenza spreads. Whereas with COVID-19, there's very little evidence that school is the place where COVID-19 will be the major spread. And with all the precautions in place, school should be a safe place. That said, we've seen with some of our community schools that they're actually putting into place a little bit of a break period before school starts to allow travelers to get home and to isolate for a while to prevent, just coming back from hotspots and bringing COVID-19 straight into the school environment, because that will obviously increase the risks.
It's a very, very frightening situation, especially with school opening at the end of this month, which we may see not actually happening depending on what happens with the Command Council meeting tomorrow. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to chatting to you again soon. And again, chat. Thank you as always for keeping our listeners updated.
Thank you, Chad.
Dr. Daniel Israel is a general practitioner. He operates from the Bluebird Center in Athol.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.